Cheater and the Rude with Jeff Kreisler and Lee Papa, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Lee Papa, writer of the blog The Rude Pundit.
I am Jeff Kreisler, talker of the words that come out of my mouth, feeler of the feelings that I feel inside of me, giver of tiny pieces of aspirin to women I want to have sex with. Also, I wrote a book, Get Rich Cheating, and, whatevs. Hi, everybody.
So yeah, we were talking before over the internet messaging thing. I don't know anything about technology, so
we only have that stuff despite Obama's best efforts to not let us have it. I don't know if you know that, but all of the good things are despite Obama's efforts to not let us have it.
So it's been kind of a shitty week for vaginaed people in this country.
Yeah,
vaginal Americans. Vaginal Americans. Can we call them that?
How about this? Vaginal Americans.
Were you trying to say never mind. Wow, I can't do it either.
Exactly. Vaginal Americans.
Either way, it's been a bad week for women.
Vegemite. Has it been a bad week for women? Or will we look back on it and say, you know, it's been a good week for women because they've been reminded how they need to fight for their right to have a party where their rights aren't taken away?
I think that's one way to look at it, is that all of a sudden people realized, oh, wait a minute, hey there, we're not living in 1965 anymore. We kind of like the birth control. Considering that, 99% of women use or have used birth control. And, the weird way in which the debate over the Obama administration's declaration that church-run institutions like hospitals and universities still have to provide contraception to their female employees and their health insurance that they provide, originally that was like the Catholic bishops, Catholic bishops saying, oh no, it's freedom of religion, we need to be able to just, punch holes, and we shouldn't give any care that makes our baby Jesus cry. And then all of a sudden it became this whole Johnson Club of men talking about, not that there'd be any other kind of Johnson Club, but anyway, a Johnson Club just all talking about yes or no on contraception.
Well, that's because men know best. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's this show that reflects contemporary times called Mad Men, and it reflects the values and the ways that we should approach women's issues. That's why it's a number one hit, because it reflects everything that we stand for as a nation.
Yeah. I can see what you're saying.
And isn't what's on TV what's important? After all, aren't we measured by how much money we have to buy how many ads to swamp our opponents in different states? I think what I'm trying to say is that I'm not really trying to say anything. I just some of the words that, like, I can't even fake spit them out. Like, Susan B. Anthony is just spinning around a rip. I used to, like, when I first started doing comedy, I'd joke about Laura Bush and how she made, Susan B. Anthony spin in her grave. Laura Bush is, like, on the front lines of women's rights compared to this, modern right-wing party.
It's totally fucking insane. I mean, we had a hearing today that was Daryl Issa's, Republican Daryl Issa, who from California, who is the chair of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, had a freaking hearing.
By the way, before we get to his clownish hearing, he is a name that we should know. I imagine you know him, but he's spearheading the slowing down investigations that are dragging everything to a halt. He himself, as someone who investigates the world of cheating, I can't remember exactly what it is with him, but he's got some dirt on his hand for, like, he opposes all sorts of earmarks, but he, like, paid for federal paving of the road in front of his cousin's business that donated $1 million. He's a dirty, creepy man. Look at his hair. I'm sorry. We're judging by hair now, as long as we're being superficial. He looks like a creepy man. Go on.
Oh, he totally is. I mean, you know, he's a Grecian formula addict. I think that's pretty clear. But, yeah, he had a he did a hearing today that was called Lines Crossed. Separation of Church and State. Has the Obama administration trampled on freedom of religion and freedom of conscience? And ostensibly, he wanted it to be a hearing about that bullshit issue of, oh no, the Catholics are going to be sad because they got to provide contraception to the people that mop vomit up at their hospitals. But then it turned out that, you know, what it really was about was contraception. And about whether or not women that work in certain places have a right to contraception. And so he invited all of these people to speak in the first panel that took part in it. None of them were women. There were no women. They were all men.
There was a woman.
And you know what? Many of them, men who don't have sex.
Yeah. Well, they have sex, but then they get paid to move to a different region of the clergy. It was all people of the cloth, as you might say. I can't remember who else was on there, but it was all dudes. It was all, speaking as a future old white dude, it was all future old white dudes. And who knows better about the what a woman goes through than future white dudes, because they put the women through it, right?
Yeah, no, I totally, you know what, and I think the next hearing should be, what we can do about the pain a man suffers when he's punched in the balls, and it should only be women.
Yeah.
Only women testifying. But I mean, the whole thing was just—it was such a bullshit thing. The Catholics, the Catholic bishops are, I mean, they are seeing this and going, oh, fuck, we haven't been this relevant in I don't know how long. It's the first time anybody's paid attention to us for anything other than fucking little kids in so long that
Let's lead.
Yeah, they're going to hump this issue as much as they can.
Nobody expects the Spanish contraception inquisition.
Yes, excellent. And so let's see, there was at least two priests on the panel, and they said things like that. Well, it's almost like a joke. There was a Catholic, a Jew, a Baptist, and a Lutheran, religious leaders all at this table. And they said things like, you know, that they're willing to die for this. They're willing to die for it.
Can I ask you a question? Are we going to look back on this move in, I don't know, 6 months at this time and say that it was like a brilliant political move by Obama? Like, was this a trap? I mean, like, you know, if he, I'm sure, saw that the economic numbers were going to turn around a little bit because he's got advanced metrics, his people. So the economy's turning around, so that dire thing's going to happen. Like we talked last week, that means there's automatically going to be, you know, a shift to the other Republican bugaboo, which is family values and social issues.
Right.
And it's almost like the way that he kind of made his compromise, is like he's prepared to do that. Like he kind of like laid a trap and said, we know you want to go to this. Here, have fun. So that they're seeing across the board just how, like, the true colors sort of, or this one particular shiny color of the right is being exposed again for people to see. So people are feeling, oh, the economy's not so bad. Well, maybe I still like, you know, Romney and Santorum and Republicans. And, oh, yeah, that's right. They're assholes. Like, I mean, I know Obama has disappointed people on the left because he hasn't as an elected official, as a president in sitting, he hasn't done all the stuff we want him to.
Right.
But maybe he's just a brilliant politician. I mean, no one ever doubted that in LA. And is it possible that this move is, and he's a brilliant politician as far as getting elected, maybe not as far as governing, but I don't know. There's something about this that just seems so like a trap laid, and they're floundering in it with their little tiny penises caught in the bear trap.
I think you're right that we want to ascribe this to Obama. We want to believe that this has been some kind of brilliant tactical move on his part, and it's possible. I got to read to you. I just got to read this, and I don't often do dramatic readings, but I really need, because I don't know if you've heard the testimony of the Most Reverend William E. Laurie, the Bishop of Bridgeport, who is from the.
Would you like some sort of introduction to this?
Because of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Do you want to give me a song? Do you want to give me a song?
Ole male vena mop, your penis is evil, but the vagina is the devil. Ole mami wana. And now a word for the most reverend of reverends, that guy that the rude pundit just named.
So this is the most reverend William E. Laurie testifying, saying this before members of Congress today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and distinguished members of the committee for the opportunity to testify today. For my testimony, I would like to tell a story. Let's call it the parable of the kosher deli.
Whoa.
Once upon a time, a new law is proposed so that any business that serves food must serve pork. See, he's doing like a Jesus kind of thing there. You know, Jesus told stories and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This guy had a lot of fish and loaves, though.
Yes, yes. There is where any business that serves food must serve pork. There is a narrow exception for kosher catering halls attached to synagogues, since they serve mostly members of that synagogue. But kosher delicatessens are still subject to the mandate. The Orthodox Jewish community, whose members run kosher delis and many other restaurants and grocers besides, expresses its outrage at the new government mandate. And they are joined by others who have no problem eating pork, not just the many Jews who eat pork, but people of all faiths, because these others recognize the threat to the principle of religious liberty. They recognize as well the impact of the damage to that principle. They know that if the mandate stands, they might be the next ones forced, under the threat of severe government sanction, to violate their most deeply held beliefs, especially their unpopular beliefs. Wait, it gets better. Meanwhile,
I'm wrapped. I'm frightened, and I am wrapped, and I'm ready to masturbate only to pictures of this guy. This
oh, you'll want to. You'll want to. You know what you'll want to do? You'll want to send this guy a photo of your taint, and then make the message be, this is what you'll see when I dangle my balls on your face.
You mean another one? You actually send him a hard copy? Because I emailed him already.
No, that's good. I'm glad you did that. Meanwhile, those who support the mandates respond, but pork is good for you. It is, after all, the other white meat.
Others support. That's clever.
This is what this guy actually fucking said before Congress today. Other supporters add, so many Jews eat pork, and those who don't should just get with the times. Still others say, those Orthodox are just trying to impose their beliefs on everyone else. But in our hypothetical, those arguments fail in the public debate because people widely recognize the following. First, although people may reasonably debate whether pork is good for you, that's not the question posed by the nationwide pork mandate. Instead, the mandate generates the question whether people who believe, even if they believe in error, that pork is good for you, should be forced by government to serve pork within their very own institutions. In a nation committed to religious liberty and diversity, the answer is, of course, is no. And then it goes on and on and on. In this, so let's just jump down to, let's cut to the chase here.
I like to think while we're jumping down. Oh no, you go ahead. Finish this thing.
Yeah, in this context, I'm sorry. It really is just hysterical. In this context, the question is this: can a customer come to a kosher deli, demand to be served a ham sandwich, and if refused, bring down severe government sanction on the deli? In a nation committed to religious liberty and diversity, the answer, of course, is no. So in our hypothetical story, because the hypothetical nation is indeed committed to religious liberty and diversity, these arguments carry the day. Oh, wait. I just got to give you one more. This story has a happy ending. The government recognized that it is absurd for someone to come into a kosher deli and demand a ham sandwich, that it is beyond absurd for that private demand to be backed with the coercive power of the state, that it is downright surreal to apply this coercive power when the customer can get the same sandwich cheaply, or even free, just a few doors down.
This has been absurdity brought to you by imaginary power in the sky given only to me, the old celibate white man theater.
Yeah, it's pretty
damn. You know what? Yeah, I want to say this. Bin Laden won. Okay, because after 9/11, they said that comedy had died. There can never be laughter again. You know what? They were right, because this guy has shown that reality trumps any sort of comedy for absurdity. If he were, like, petting a little young boy that he had chained underneath his table, is the only thing that could have made it more incredible. I like to think that this guy is a victim of the war on religion, and I want to just say that at first they came for the inbred, out-of-touch assholes, and I said nothing because fuck them. Fuck that guy. There. Fuck him. All right. Sorry. You okay? Hi.
That's okay. You know, and the thing is despite, Bishop Porkface's desperate attempt to try to keep this focused on religious freedom, it's expanded, of course, into being about contraception, which is what it really is about. It's about keeping women barefoot and pregnant,
porking.
Essentially.
No porking.
No porking. Because, you see, it's now the argument's now expanding beyond just whether or not religious-run institutions should provide contraceptive coverage for their employees. Oh, no. Giselle, would you please play the clip?
Do you have any concerns about some of his comments on social issues, on contraception, on women in combat, and whether or not that would hurt his viability in a general election campaign? Would he be the nominee?
Well, I get such a chuckle when these things come out. Here we have millions of our fellow Americans unemployed. We have jihadist camps being set up in Latin America, which Rick has been warning about, and people seem to be so preoccupied with sex. I think it says something about our culture. We maybe need a massive therapy session so we can concentrate on what the real issues are. And this contraceptive thing, my gosh, it's such inexpensive. You know, back in my days, they used bare aspirin for contraceptives. The gals put it between their knees, and it wasn't that costly.
Excuse me, I'm just trying to catch my breath from that, Mr. Freeze, frankly. let's change the subject.
Good reporting. Hey, let's change the subject. You just said something outrageous. Let's move on. What an asshat.
Isn't that astounding? Isn't that amazing?
Can I say something important?
Let me just tell who this guy is. This is one of the biggest financial backers and advisors to now front runner Republican candidate for president Rick Santorum.
You said that really well. The front runner title.
Yeah.
You said that with remarkably little sort of vocal inflection, giving away any sort of feeling about that.
Well,
are you dead inside? Has the Republic has this whole process killed you inside?
No. I want him to be the nominee really, badly. But he's a billionaire. Foster Freeze And so, and you know, just for people that don't get it, the idea is you hold the aspirin between your knees, ladies, because that way then your vagina is inaccessible. Unless you're bending over, in which case it's amazing.
Right, well then it's not considered a sin in God's eyes.
Yes.
Because God only sees through the penis, and God won't see what he's doing if he's behind you.
Yes, yes.
I'm actually glad you explained that, because I was going to make that point, because I've seen out on the world where people like us waste our time in the interwebs, some people have not understood that he wasn't advocating putting it into your lady part to prevent a baby. He was suggesting keeping your lady part inaccessible.
No. But yeah, it's again, just, and I loved Andrea Mitchell from MSNBC just pretty much just swallowing her face at that moment. Like,
but why couldn't she have said, okay, instead of saying I'm catching my breath, let's move on, why couldn't she have said, well, explain yourself, like, that sounds like you're a cretin, that sounds like you're a caveman, suggesting that if women were just more chaste, there would be no jihadist camps in Guatemala or whatever the hell that first part of that was. That's asking too much of Alan Greenspan's wife, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So I mean, just all over, it just, the news was one assault on the vagina after another this week. In Virginia, do you know about this Virginia law?
I've heard about it, but I want you to tell the world.
Do you want me to tell the world? The Virginia law, Virginia State Legislature passed a bill that would require women to have an ultrasound before they have an abortion. Abortion, by the way, still being legal in this country. Just, you know, people sometimes forget that it is a legal medical procedure that it was for a period of time routinely done, still routinely done, but used to be more, there used to be more access all around the country instead of just centralized in mostly urban areas. And so the kind of procedure, the ultrasound, is not just we're going to rub some gel on your tummy and rub around, because that kind of ultrasound is for when the baby is bigger. In the early days of a pregnancy, it's got to be a vaginal probe inserted.
I know, just the pork-obsessed old white man to conduct these probes.
That's right. Pork-obsessed white men want to have women, force women, pregnant women who desire to have an abortion. They want to not only force women to have this procedure, they want to force doctors to perform a medically unnecessary procedure that penetrates the bodies of their patients. It penetrates them in a way that, under any other circumstance, as Dahlia Lithwick and other feminist commentators have said, and non, you know, you don't even need to be a feminist to say this, that in any other situation, it would be rape.
Well, you understand, the government is a nanny when it's providing roads, schools, clean air, and drinking water. It's not a nanny when it either tells you where you can put your ding-a-dong or puts something into your ding-a-dong for you. Like, you know, it's a very, like, as someone with a newborn, I'm learning that this is how nannies are defined, and babysitters also. So if I have a babysitter, I will hire a babysitter, and that babysitter will, for instance, make sure that all of the air in my apartment is clean, but will not put something cleaning off. I've just lost my thing. I made the point. Forget the last minute. Remember before, hypocrisy. That's my point. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, it's like there are a number of women that voted for this in the Virginia legislature, like a Kathy Byron, who said, if we want to talk about invasiveness, there's nothing more invasive than the procedure that she is about to have.
Oh, I thought there was a clip about to play.
No. It's so ridiculous. It's so appalling. It's one of those things that you just sit there and go, this whole debate, this whole thing, I'm sitting there going, are we really doing this? Are we? It's fucking 2012. Are we actually sitting here having the same fucking debates that we were having back in 1968 and 1969 when use of the pill was first widespread?
Yes, we're having it because this is the whole MO, is that everything was fine until about 1968 when we suddenly had an open society, when we suddenly allowed everyone at the table. Like, that's what changed. That's what ruined everything. Everybody was perfect in their little white picket fence homes until we allowed liberalism in. That's what the rollback is going to, this imaginary world, 1950, where dads come home and take off their Daryl Issa hair underneath their little hat. And like, that's exactly the conversation, because people haven't gotten past that moment. They believe that by appealing to a moment in time that we all have in this distant memory, that they're going to achieve some sort of election bliss, orgasm, mistress, fucking death thing. And it's just, it's ridiculous that we're at. You know, it's that old, it's a relatively cliche thing, and I don't want to, and I am going to leave, but, you know, Republican, Democrat, R&D, reverse and drive. It's like, you know, can we get past sexuality as a fucking issue, and just so we can deal with the real shit out there, the fucking, like, this chuckle dude's jihadists building camps in Guatemala or wherever the fuck it was. How much time do we have left, Giselle?
I think we've got like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to know something else? You want another one?
Yeah. I just officially, here's the thing. I like to thank the right on this party. I like to thank the religious right, the Republican right, and the people in Congress for forcing me into early retirement, to making an easy choice to give it up, because this is not, I mean, repeating what they say is not a skill, because it is just so absurd. They've made comedy irrelevant because they are comics. Go on, give me one more thing in the next 3 minutes.
One more. The TSA, you know, they have the Transportation Safety Administration. You know, the people that fondle you at the airport.
Yeah.
You see, they've got those you know, body scanner things, and there still are the ones that where you can see a pretty good outline. Well, apparently, according to more than 500 complaints against the TSA, they are doing multiple scans of particularly attractive women. Women are told, well, it was out of focus, you need to do it again. Sometimes two or three times more. And that there are female agents that ask them to go back, but they have on earpieces where people you can't see who are seeing your body scan are saying, go back in, let's check out the bod one more time. There we go.
Well, it's because we don't have a society that objectifies women enough. If we objectified and discredited women more, then we'd go all the way back around the circle and come out in a good place.
Hey, do you need to pimp something?
Oh, yeah. Coming up right after the show is episode 3 of the Final Edition Radio Hour. It's getting pretty perfect. I suggest everyone tune in and really enjoy it. We got a lot of good election stuff in this episode. I'll let people listen. I won't give it away.
All right. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Lee.
We're a couple of guilty white men who have no problem letting vaginas run free. We want vaginas to be free. Go, vagina. Fly,
set
vagina.
JJ free.
Enjoy the world, vagina, and all of the things that can go into and out of you. You've been listening to Cheater in the Rude on Progressive Radio Network. I'm Lee Papa. You can follow me on Twitter at Rude Fundit.
And I'm Jeff Price. Look at Jeff Chrysler.
I think he meant to say, I'm Jeff Chrysler, and that would be him. And you can follow him at Jeff Chrysler on Twitter. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week. What about